One of the best things I ever did for myself was to register for the DNA surprise retreat last year. It was shortly after I found out about my DNA surprise and my ethnicity shift. The retreat was a place of community and friendship and understanding and learning that I was not alone. I learned skills to manage the shock, and I was learning to begin to heal. I was so surprised that many people were going through the very same thing or similar circumstances. I was surprised by the empathy and the care that I received. I was surprised in a whole lot of other good ways. Is there any way you can go to the retreat this year? I can highly recommend it in every way. Let your story begin. Let your healing begin.
Whether you just uncovered your DNA surprise or you've been on this journey for a while, the DNA Surprise Retreat is for you. Registration is open now. Join us from September 19th through the 22nd, 2024, just outside of Phoenix, Arizona. You can reserve your space at dnasurpriseretreat.com. I'll see you there.
At 37 years old, to find out that every adult that you ever trusted in your whole life lied to you. For somebody that is a habitual truth teller, and I even feel like an omission is a lie, right? So like even, you know, the truth we tell that gets ourselves in trouble because we can't live with the guilt of not telling the whole truth and nothing but the truth. I can't understand how people think, but I can look at both of my parents and I just think, wow, keeping this secret all these years, especially for my mom, I'm like, man, it's aged you. Mm. Like, no wonder you're sick. Like, no wonder you have, you know, stomach problems and these issues and like ailments, you know, that comes with age.
Yeah.
See, not everybody has those ailments. Mm-hmm. And I just think like this ate you alive. It ate you alive.
Imagine spitting into a tube, sending off your DNA, and unknowingly turning your life upside down. For me and thousands of others, this is our reality. I'm your host, Alexis Auerselt. In July of 2021, I discovered that I am an NPE, someone who has experienced a non-paternal event. In other words, my biological father isn't who I thought he was. This podcast shares the journeys of people who were shocked by a DNA discovery, mostly through modern DNA testing. We're telling the stories of NPEs, adoptees, and donor-conceived people and their families. This is DNA Surprises. Welcome to Season 3 of DNA Surprises. In the season premiere, Ashley shares her double NPE journey. First, a content warning. Due to the circumstances of Ashley's conception, there is a lengthy discussion of rape and sexual assault. There are also mentions of childhood sexual abuse. If you or anyone you know are a victim of rape or sexual assault, please call 1-800-656-4673. Ashley took her DNA test for health reasons and was completely blindsided when she learned her raised father is not her bio dad. In this episode, she shares how she is processing two different versions of how she was conceived. Her mother says she was raped. Her father says that it was a night of passion. She also shares how her discovery has affected her immediate family. I want to recognize that these conversations are difficult, especially in the DNA surprise community. Thank you, Ashley, for sharing your story.
My name is Ashley, and I am 38. And I was born in Jacksonville, Florida, but I have been in Memphis almost my whole entire life. And so, yeah, grown up on the same street that my husband and I bought our house on. And so I live three doors down from the house I grew up in. And so my mom is still there. And my kids, I have five kids, super, super tight family. Everybody's grown up together. And I'm the oldest of the four between my mom and my dad. My DNA surprise story starts with COVID-19. I worked from home for about 14 months and I am 5'2" and I did not move from my recliner for better part of 14 months. I had a laptop in my lap. So working from home and not moving and not going to the gym, I put on some weight. And so because I'm lazy, in an effort to get rid of some of that weight, I said, you know, I'm going to take a DNA test and upload it into one of those dietary DNA tests so that I can find out what my perfect vegetable is. You know, maybe if I eat broccoli, I'll lose these 40 pounds. Send that test off because it's more financially responsible to do it that way than their own test. And my sister and my dad had taken the test years ago. And I was super excited knowing that, you know, you can see not every sibling has every single genetic trait that their parents do, and sometimes grandparents, and it skips. And so DNA has always been fascinating. My birthday is December 4th. It was a Friday. On December 5th, on Saturday, my husband took me to birthday breakfast, and we were waiting in the car, and I get the email, and it says, hey, your DNA test results are back, which was cool. But I was more excited to upload those results because I was really looking forward to starting off January knowing that all I needed to do was eat broccoli or more of it. And so I opened the results and the screen looks back at me and it says, my sister's name, Whitney, is a match as half-sister. And I'm sitting, and I'm sorry.
It's okay.
I'm sitting in the driver's seat waiting to go have birthday breakfast. And my husband is sitting right there and, you know, his eyes are as big as saucers. And I'm like, Whitney is my half sister. And immediately I think, oh, my mom cheated on my dad and dad is not Whitney's dad. And it's so fast. And then I'm like, there's no way. I'm like, oh my God, mom is not my mom. But then I've seen those pictures. So I know she birthed me. And I'm like, dad is not my dad. Because I'm flipping through and I'm seeing the only match is my sister and it's half sister. And we sat there and I just was in shock. And I took a screenshot and I FaceTimed my sister and sent her the screenshot. And I said, I need you to look at this while I was on FaceTime with her. And she starts WTF, WTF. She's like, oh my God, this is insane. And what does this mean? And I don't know. And so I process and I'm in shock and for hours, just nuts. I do go in and eat breakfast. The poor server, it was crazy. I feel terrible for her now. I spilled the whole entire story right then, at least up until that point. So we leave after breakfast. And again, I told you we live on the same street as my mom. Mm-hmm. So we pull up at the house and I immediately get and I'm walking down there. And my husband turns around and he's like, can you at least let me go to the bathroom first? And we don't lock our doors at home. So mom doesn't lock her doors. The kids are always in and out. So I'm sitting, I'm walking, I'm back and forth and I'm waiting. And he comes back outside and we proceed to walk to my mom's house. We knock on the door and she's like, hey, what's going on? Like, what's up? And I'm like, hey, let's go talk. Let's have a seat. And she's like, is everything okay? And I'm like, yeah, everything's great. And she's looking at me like, what's going on? And I'm like, no, let's just go sit down. So we sit on the couch and I said, is there something you need to tell me? I said, she's like, I don't understand. I said, can you tell me why my sister is my half-sister and my dad is not my dad? And she blurts out, well, your dad never wanted you to know. Okay. Your dad never wanted you to know. Immediately off the bat, no responsibility.
Yeah.
Blame dad. And I'm like, but I need some information. So like, I need to know. And the background is my mother was married right out of high school. And it did not work out. She hit the road and was like a vagabond moving from city to city. I mean, she worked and she took care of herself and she just was completely independent and somehow she ended up in Florida. So from the time she was like 18 to 25, she was kind of like, I don't know, like a nomad. And so anyway, so she ended up in Florida, and I knew already that my parents had been together a short time, never exactly how long. Anyway, that it was a quick relationship and pregnancy and all that. So mm-hmm. mom goes in to tell me about when she was working at the car shop, that she had been an auction girl. Beautiful, petite, 4'11", very busty, very curvy auctioneer girl holding the signs at the car auction. And she had been in love with, she was 25, with a 35-year-old man going through a divorce, and that he'd already had a kid and he just was not ready for another one. And she told me his name, and I said, okay. And so I said, is there anybody else? Because are we sure this is it? This is him. And she said, well, there was somebody else that I had seen. I guess you could say he raped me, but, no, it's definitely Ron. Ron is your dad. Ron is your dad. And I said, okay. And still in shock and not really knowing what to do. And my husband's holding my hand the whole time. And at one point when she was crying and weeping and I'm sorry, and your dad again, he just never wanted you to know. My husband said, you know, this isn't about you. She needs some answers. And so walking out the door, I turned around and I said to my mother that had this not happened, I would have never known that my dad never treated me any differently. And that he was just, you know, I would have never known.
Yeah.
Would have never known. Had no idea.
So you had no idea as a child. You never wondered or anything like that.
No. You know, kids, when they don't look exactly the same, you know, you always tease your siblings. One of you is adopted or one of you was, you know, brought by an alien spaceship. My brother and I, so I'm 38. He's 36. My younger sister is she's 33. And then there's a 30-year-old. So my brother and I look exactly the same. So then the younger two, they look just like my dad. And there were times in my life when I thought like I looked like my dad. And, you know, babies change and kids grow and your facial features change. But so processing, go home. The kids obviously all know like mom is wrecked. Something is wrong. So we sit down and we have this huge conversation because there's so much background. I met my husband when I was very young. I was 15 and I saw him and I just said, I'm going to marry him. And he was 18 at the time. And people thought we were crazy. And I said, I don't care. I'm going to marry him. So I was, you know, would try to ask my mom, like, is this normal to see somebody and to just know that that's it? And, you know, well, how long were you and dad together? And is this weird? And can you know after, you know, weeks or months? And so we set our kids down and we are, we have convictions and my husband and I don't necessarily think that we did things the right way. And, you know, the right way, the norm, the no sex before marriage and blah, blah, blah. But we know that our lives are still, we've been really blessed, right? We've been very well taken care of. And so with the kids, and this being about a year and a half ago, everybody was a little bit younger. So we sat all the kids down and just told them, look, you have to be very clear in a relationship. If you are a girl, you may end up with an unwanted pregnancy. If you are a boy, you may end up, one, never knowing she was pregnant, and having an abortion, or having a kid that you don't know about, or having a kid that you know about and they won't let you see. So just be very, very safe and be very careful if you're going to do that, that you protect yourself, because it's not just, you know, your life or somebody else's. I mean, you know, disease and all that kind of stuff. But anyway, so immediately that night I start looking up names and I find my brother online and I said, hey, is your dad Ron? And he says, yeah. And I said, did he do such an, you know, did he work car lot auctions back in the 80s in Jacksonville, Florida? And he was like, yep. I said, I think I'm your sister. And he was like, that sounds like dad. And And right. And so I'm looking at this guy. I'm like, yeah, this is probably him. So his dad, Ron, reaches out to me and, very nice, guy, older guy, tells me a slightly different story. Of course, you know, everybody's points of view are different, but a slightly different story, was not with her more than a couple times. And he had always tried to get a paternity test. And they said, you know, my dad was going to raise me as his own and that they didn't want him involved and he was sorry and what else could he do? So that's fine. That's great. He's going to take a DNA test and we'll go from there. Well, let's just lock it down. But he tells me then, like, there, you know, there was somebody else she was seeing. You know, and I'm like, okay, so that's great. But he's like, but I'm pretty sure you're my daughter. And I'm excited because I've only got one kid. And I said, that's wonderful. So he, like I said, is a much older gentleman. And my dad is 10 years older than my mom. And he was older than my dad. So maybe not the most efficient way, but ordered the test. And I'm like, you can go to Target and buy them. But anyway, so he buys a test, right? He takes the test. It takes about 6 or 7 weeks for him to order the test, get the test, take the test, send the test back, get the results. Meanwhile, we decided we really needed to get away, take a break. So we packed up everybody and we went to Mexico. Took mom, because mom is always, you know, she's a helping hand, but she's always there. You know, she's like one of the kids, literally. We take care of her. So we all get back from Mexico and it was a wonderful, amazing trip. And Ron calls me and he says, hey, I got my test results. And I said, oh, no. I looked at my husband and I said, it's not him. Because at that point, if he's telling me he got his results back and he was my dad, I would have known before that phone call. Because I checked my app dozens of times a day for weeks looking for that update. So sure enough, it is not him. He is not the father. He forced the connection on, you know, 23andMe, where you send somebody the invite and you really try and there's nothing there. And he says that he's so sorry and that he really wishes it was him. But it's not. And he really thinks it's somebody else. Obviously, it's not him. So he tells me a list of, you know, another guy that he thinks it could be. And so meanwhile, I go ahead and call my mom, who on the other end of the phone has a more hysterical reaction than she did to our first conversation. And at this point, I'm like feeling like I'm on Maury, you know, multiple guys on this stage. It's not you, then who? And so at this point, I'm livid because we just, you know, we took a vacation. We take care of you. Like, I know that might sound terrible, but you're not just emotionally invested in people, right? You have a financial, like, I just took you on vacation.
Right.
And that sounds so selfish, but anyway, so I said, can you tell me, like, who have you slept with in this, you know, who all did you sleep with? She gives me a list and there's like four guys.
Okay. So it's more than just, so she mentioned before that it could be Ron or it could be this person who sexually assaulted her.
Yeah. It could be this guy or it could be this guy that I worked with at the hotel and I don't even remember his name, but his dad owned it. Or, you know, it could have been this other guy and I am in shock. And so trying to figure out as a woman, having had five children of my own and being pretty in tune with my body and conception and counting and calendars, I said, Mom, how could it be one of four different guys in such a short amount of time you could get pregnant? I said, Mom, were you an escort? And she is infuriated and completely insulted. Later goes on to tell me that she misunderstood my question and that she thought I was asking about all the men she'd ever slept with. Oh. Now, So hearing this too, and also knowing in the back of my mind, my whole entire life, we were told, don't have sex before marriage, you know, don't be a whore, don't sleep around. And she was a virgin on her wedding day. Well, she was a virgin on her wedding day, her first wedding day, you know, when she was 17, almost 18. Anyway, so comes back and she's like, no, no, there wasn't four, there's only two. So it's this guy or this guy. So meanwhile, Ron, who still knows, has given him my number and calls me, and he tells me a very different story. And the test is confirmed. It took him weeks, weeks and weeks. And I reached out and I said, hey, are you going to take this 23andMe? Well, I don't really want my information on a public platform. You know, I've got kids, I've got family. I don't want this being public. And I said, okay. He's like, well, can we do a private test? And I said, absolutely. So he ordered a Canadian test, Canada, right? Completely out of the country, I guess, as private as you can be, which in the back of my head, I'm wondering, well, you know, my mom says he raped her and now he's ordering a Canadian test. Maybe he doesn't want his DNA pulled in America, right? This is like, okay, like really weird. And so the test comes in, I spit in the tube. Evidently they could not read my handwriting. So about a month later, I get a phone call and he says, did you get your email? And I said, no. And he said, well, I am your father, which of course your mom's horrified and he is kind of in shock. And by this point, we've had a couple of conversations trying to figure out, like, I hate to say comparing stories, but there were very, very, very different accounts.
Yeah. I mean, what does he say to your mom's
allegation? To the rape allegation. Yeah. So at the time, Ron, who could have been the father, was mid to late 30s and was early to mid 20s. So he is a year or two younger than my mom, and he is, he's the son of a local car dealership owner, son, grandson, you know, family business. He says, yes, your mom, she said no, but she did not like say no. Like she said no, but she did not fight. Ashley, you were conceived in a night of passion. And so for months and months, I have tried to bring resolution and try to figure out and try to understand. And I know that my mom was assaulted multiple times, you know, in her teenage years. And apparently in the 80s in Jacksonville, Florida, among that group of people, I think that at that point in the 80s, maybe women felt like they had to say no before they could say yes. And I think that the times were different. I hate to say the times were different back then, but we live in an age of consent now.
Yes, right? We do.
And back then, I think there was this expectation of modesty. So if a man has been told a couple of times no by a woman who doesn't necessarily appear to be saying no, her mouth is saying no, but that's not how she's acting. Mm-hmm. And, you know, my husband said to me, he's like, you say no. And I'm like, oh yeah, but you know, that's like, you know, right. That's different, right? That's, it's a little bit different. Whether you're giving it up or it's being taken or, but you know, to my mom, she says, I said no, and I didn't fight because I was afraid of getting hurt. So here I am, the child of what one person thinks is a horrific, brutal, I mean, not brutal, but I mean, it's brutal anyway, right? There, unfortunately, right. As women, there are degrees of sexual assault, right? Mm-hmm. So for my mom, solidifying the fact that I was a kid, I feel like she always knew, because we had a very strained relationship. And I've also often heard that moms and daughters have, you know, rough relationships. If it's a competitive, you know, like a narcissistic or a victimhood. And my dad that raised me, Kenny, I always knew that I was not dad's first kid. My dad was an alcoholic, and he was physically abusive. And I think that the generation that raised the people born in the 40s and 50s did not have the, obviously they didn't have the tools that we have today, but where you are mentally and emotionally was not a thing that was important, right? They did what they had to do to get by. So rather than like processing and talking about abuse, you just yourself turn into an abuser.
Right.
So my dad that raised me, he was an alcoholic, and he did beat all of his other wives and the mothers of his children. So he was married 3 times and had 1 kid each with each of those women. And then when I was 12, I found out I actually have a half sister named Ashley, also named Ashley. Mm-hmm. And that was dad's kid. So at 12, finding out that I had a half sister by my, you know, my dad also had another kid, was kind of a bit of a shock. And my mother hated his kids and really hated the ex-wives. Really, like, it was terrible. We didn't really get to know our half siblings. It was bad growing up. You know, it was super competitive, and she was super jealous. And in the years that my dad was abusing my mom, you know, drinking and hitting her, my grandmother would tell her, "You're never going to find anybody else to take care of those kids." So over this whole thing, the things that started unpacking for me are, oh my God, my grandmother knew. She knew. Mm. So she was telling my mom that you already found one person that's going to, you already found somebody that's going to take care of your one little bastard or whatever, you mm-hmm. know. The likelihood of you finding somebody that's going to take care of your four, like, it's just not going to happen. So you need to stay with them. So I really struggle with the fact that even though I love my dad, and my dad did the best he could with the tools he had, that he was not a good husband mm-hmm. To my mother. And my mother used to say to me growing up, she would say, "I'm so sorry I married your dad. I'm so sorry I married your dad." So there were things that she said that now that all of this has come out, that so makes sense. It just so makes sense. Apparently, I was born in a birthing house in Florida, and there was a huge write-up. And I have seen the news article about who's going to be a single mom in the 80s, paving the way for women to be, you know, independent and on their own. But that's certainly not how we were raised. And that's not what she did.
Did your parents get married after you were born, or when she was pregnant?
No. Okay. So this is great. When I was a kid, young kid, I found my parents' marriage license. And it was literally, it was like 3 months after I was born. And I'm like, you know, I'm mathing, and I'm like 8 or 10 or whatever. And like I said, we went to church, you know, every Sunday. We were, "Don't do this, don't do that, blah, 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 blah." But so I'm like, "I don't understand you know, how this happened." And that's when she was like, "Well, they were really busy at the courthouse. They must have made a mistake." Mm. And so, of course, now, like later on when I was a teenager, it came out like, no, like, I'm like, "Mom, I'm not that stupid anymore. Like, you can't, like, I don't believe that." And she was like, "No, I was pregnant, and we got married after we were born, because I wasn't sure I really wanted to marry him." And I'm like, "Oh, okay." But I got to tell you the dad part of this, because my dad that raised me, I didn't call. I didn't tell him. I talked to my dad every day, multiple times a day, for like years and years and years. And when I opened that test, immediately compartmentalized everything. And I thought, I'm a compulsive truth teller. So I felt like I could not talk to him on the phone about anything if I wasn't going to address this. So like I didn't talk to him for weeks. And of course the question is like, what's wrong? And finally, it's terrible, because I wanted to see him in person and I wanted to tell him.
So your parents are no longer married.
They are divorced, and they have been divorced for 15 years. Weeks and weeks have gone by from me getting these test results. And when I found out, I immediately got my sister and my 2 brothers, so Whitney, Garrett, and Zach, and I got everybody in a group chat, And Whitney already knew, of course, from the phone call at the restaurant. But I got everybody in a group chat and I just said, hey, took this DNA test. Dad's not my dad. I'm your half sister. And I titled it, you know, half siblings, whatever. To which Whitney tells me, well, you know, at least you're not related to Ashley anymore. So, which, you know, it was funny, but it wasn't, it was terrible, right. But yeah. We're not, okay. So she's not really your sister anymore. So at least you don't have to claim her. And I said, oh, okay. Okay. Cause you know, that's problems anyway, but I'm trying to figure out how I'm going to go down. Cause I want to tell my dad face to face. I want to take my husband. I want to see him face to face. I want to tell my dad, you know, thank you. Because the second that I realized he wasn't my dad, but yet he took care of me my whole entire life and that he never made me feel any different. Like, even though he was an alcoholic, even though he, you know, was physically abusive to my mom and emotionally and, you know, all that, you know, and really to the kids too, like verbally and emotionally, but there's like a certain age that you don't, like you think it's normal. Mm-hmm. And then now that we're in 2022, now we realize like, hey, these things are not okay. They're not normal. They have long lasting effects. But I was trying to figure out, because my dad lives about an hour and a half north of Jacksonville, where my biological father lives. So I was trying to figure out a way to, one, talk to my dad face to face and tell him, I know, and thank you. But also to meet my biological father. And I got a call from my dad that his brother, my uncle, had passed. And I, at that moment, and I still don't know why I did that day and I felt terrible, but his brother had dementia. So even though it was painful emotionally for him, it was kind of like closing a chapter. Mm-hmm. And, you know, they say don't kick them when they're down, but I thought, well, you're already pretty far as you can go. So let's rip the Band-Aid. And so I get him on the phone and I just looked at him and I said, Dad, I know. And he's like, what? I said, I told you that I was fat. And I was taking a DNA test so that I could figure out what to eat right. Well, yeah, yeah. I said, Dad, I took the same test that you and Whitney took 8 years ago. And he's like, okay. And he's, again, not, you know, he's older and not quite with it. And I said, Dad, I said, I know that you're not my dad biologically. And I said, and I'm really sorry that, you know, today is the day that I'm going to tell you that I know this. I said, but I can't hold it in anymore. I wanted to see you, tell you, thank you. But, and he cried and he, you know, he said that he loved me and that he had loved me before I was born. Cause when he met my mom, she, you know, she was pregnant. And it's so funny how so many of these stories, the man falls in love with the baby, the pregnant woman, that, you know, and I don't know if it is an innate thing that men have to want to be protectors, providers, saviors. Mm-hmm. But he is, besides my husband, the hardest working man I know. And, you know, he was a great provider for us. Yeah. So I told him over the phone like that in a video chat. And I think he must be like early onset. You know, I don't want to say dementia because nobody wants to wish that for their parent. Maybe forgetful, or maybe now he has the opportunity to say things that weren't things he could say back then. Mm-hmm. But so many times, like, so I told my dad I knew before we knew for sure whether I was Ron's or whether I was, we still didn't even know. And I did tell my dad and I said, hey, this is who we're testing. And when I told him, I said, Dad, it's not Ron. And he is like, I'll be damned. And he knew, you know, I told him the whole drama about, my God, how many people was she with? And, you know, trying to figure it, and then realizing like, okay, maybe it really wasn't that bad. But I think the time frame, because she obviously doesn't remember, and Dad did not hang with that crew, I think that my mother was pregnant with me already from her incident with, whether it was a one-time thing or what have you. And I almost feel like whatever hormones she had fed into this infatuation she had with Ron. Mm. I think that she always knew that I was, and in her mind, you know, was a painful thing. And I've tried to teach my kids, like, because I don't know, obviously I was there, but we don't know.
Right.
But there's his story. There's her story. She said no. She was afraid he was going to hurt her. And she, you know, let him do his thing, and it was over very quickly. Now, says that, look, you were conceived in a night of passion, but your mom was super angry because I was a young man and could not control myself, and it was over very quickly. When it was over, she was angry and said, that's it.
Mm.
Which is an odd thing to say. She's like, you're not even a real man, or I need a real man, or whatever. And these comments are almost 40 years ago now. But it's funny because I know my mom. And so my mom's number one tool was emasculation.
Mm.
And I think, so maybe in her eyes, she did feel like, yeah, he raped her. And by that point, it was over. What else did she have to lose? And so she's going to try to get him where it hurts and make him feel like less than a man. But he says, no, that's not what happened. And but either way, I'm here.
Yeah. How do you reconcile the fact that, you know, you'll never know the reality?
You don't. I went at Thanksgiving, my dad that raised me, and on Friday after Thanksgiving, I drove down to Jacksonville and I met my biological father and his wife, who are really nice people. And it's super weird to look at somebody that you look like. And he told me his side, and, you know, and the wife, his wife is amazing. And she's a very, very sweet person, very sweet woman. And she said, like, I've known from the day I met him that this incident occurred and that this is how your mother felt. She's never met my mom. She doesn't know my mom. The allegation was not private. It was very public.
Okay, because that's what I was going to say. How did she know about this? How did this stick?
So in their circle immediately, though, like, everybody knew, because Ron knew, but says that, you know, he had told each of his wives. He's also now been married 3 times, and he does have 4 other children. I have a 21-year-old son, and I also have 22-year-old twin sisters.
Wow.
Whom I've not met. I have like a 34-year-old brother whom I did meet that same day. But he said that he was honest from the beginning with each of his wives that, hey, look, now back in the 80s, this woman says I raped her. This is what happened. She got pregnant. We never did a DNA test.
So he knew about the pregnancy.
Oh yeah. Everybody knew about the pregnancy.
So both everybody Ron knew. And thought that they might be your father.
And they talked about it. I did badger some, and I just said, I don't understand. You knew she was pregnant. Like, you didn't feel this innate urge to want to just know. But I guess in the 80s, maybe men didn't have that opportunity. They couldn't track you down. They couldn't force you to be tested. I did find out that my mother called the state of Florida and said, hey, look, and because I was born in a birthing house, right?
Mm-hmm.
Birth certificates were not done the same way.
Mm-hmm.
She said, hey, look, I had this kid, and the dad does not want to be in her life. Because either way, right, neither man wanted to take responsibility without a DNA test, obviously. And my dad decided, you know, he was going to raise me. He was going to be my dad. And they didn't want anybody in and out. They didn't want to share me. So the state said, we'll just have him sign the birth certificate and send it in. So they did. And his name's on my birth certificate. I found my social security card that actually had my mother's maiden name when I was much younger. And she did explain that to me by saying, well, remember, we weren't married. So because we weren't married when we had you, this is after that confession, you know, when, you know, we weren't married when we had you. So that's how they did social security cards back then. But I mean, it's just been, it's been insane. I think my biggest sadness is that it blows your whole life up. You know, I'm in a position where none of my siblings have reached out. They don't care to know me. They've not reached out. I did meet the brother and it was weird. And we were at the car lot, and because I asked after we had breakfast and I said, can I meet? Because, you know, he's local. And he said, yeah, he's at the dealership. Just, you know, here's where it's at. Come on over. And I show up and there's, you know, somebody that works with them is standing there looking at me, and he says, man, you two look like you could be related. And I look at, and he looks at his, you know, buddy, whatever. And he says, well, Ashley is half sister. She is my daughter. And, you know, the guy's jaw just hit the ground, and it was, you know, I met him, it was a couple minutes and then that was it. And that's the only sibling I've met. I know that I have a sister that we definitely look alike. And I've seen pictures of one of the grandmothers and I can see it now. It's just crazy, but it gets even crazier. And, you know, and all the stuff that you said, how do you reconcile? So I can reconcile that my mom, you know, married my dad because she wanted to be taken care of. I get it, right? Sometimes that's just the need that we have. But weirder than that is that my grandmother, my mom's mom, whom was my closest, like, confidant, like, I worshipped her. And my mom worshipped her, right? Even though they had a very weird relationship. My grandmother's husband, because my grandfather, they were divorced and then my grandfather passed, but my grandmother remarried and her husband molested me from the time I was 8 years old to the time I was about 15. Once I met my husband at 15, he did not attempt to touch me again. So I really struggle with, you married a man that hit you and drank to not disappoint your mother, who then let her husband, and this wasn't a secret. I mean, it did come out. From 8 to 10, I was quiet. But at 10 years old, I was in fourth grade, and he came to pick me up, and I about had a heart attack. And I knew that I was going to be alone with him for hours and hours, and I just didn't want to do that. And that's when it all came out, and I told my mom and told dad, and everybody knew, and my grandmother, they all were like horrified. But then at the same time, they were like, well, surely maybe she's exaggerating or whatever. And so they were like, well, you know, he didn't mean it and he's sorry. And they just assumed that it quit, but it didn't. And so now I really struggle with, and I have some anger towards the dad that raised me because he knew.
Yeah.
That he knew that my grandmother's, you know, that his mother-in-law's husband, you know, had messed with his kid. It's so weird. The whole, like, looking at how you go through the chain of events. And I don't believe in coincidence. I believe in providence. And I was having this discussion with my husband earlier. Like, I know that had, because I told this too. I said, you know, I was, you know, molested for years. And he was horrified. And he said, if I'd have known, that would have never happened again. And I know that. I absolutely believe that. But if I had gone back and forth between households, if this man had ever been a part of my life, if he had ever been a dad to me, I probably would not have met my husband. I would not be where I'm at today and wouldn't have the life I have today. I wouldn't have the kids I have today. And, you know, my mom, when she used to say, I wish I'd never married your dad, I'm so sorry. And I'm like, but if you didn't, you wouldn't have had us. You wouldn't have had me. And of course, now I know better. But so I absolutely, and I told my husband this too. I said, you know, sometimes I just need to hear you say, like, I can say that about myself, but I need you to say, these things all happened as part of a plan. Look at where we're at. I wouldn't have you had you not been, you know, where you are. And, you know, it's a lot. It's a lot of, you can't reconcile it. You can't figure out the traumas and the things that you went through. There is no fix for it.
Right.
There is no justice. You just do what you do. And it's still a struggle. I mean, my mom and I, we see each other almost every day.
What's that relationship like? How is it going?
It's my mother, because she's never taken care of herself, is very, very juvenile. And narcissistic, I think the word to me is more calculating. I think she is just so naive, willfully ignorant. Mm. She's willfully ignorant. It's easier for, I don't know. She's got it. She definitely has a victim mentality. And one of our big, we did have a really big fight, you know, a few months ago. And we do argue a lot. This is still a point of contention mm-hmm. because, like I said, I can't understand it. How are you so dumb? You couldn't do the math. You couldn't figure it out. The kicker, though, Alexis, the test was on my kitchen counter. Me taking this test was not a surprise. Everybody knew I was taking it. And as much as I miss my grandmother, I'm so glad that she passed before this came out. It's hard to hate somebody that's gone, mm-hmm. you know? And so there's nobody that I can go scream at or yell at or tell them that they betrayed me or how could you lie to me or how could you this or that, but she's gone. And I think that's probably kind of protection.
How does your mom feel about you getting to know your biological father?
No, it's a thing. She feels, I think, betrayed that I want to have this relationship. And one of our big fights that we had, because she talks to my kids about stuff that they shouldn't, you know, their kids, like, don't, like, they don't need to. Now, my kids know this whole entire story. They know it. Yeah. And that's some of the reason I think he doesn't want to meet my kids, because I think he doesn't want to be portrayed as a rapist to mm-hmm. my kids. But she told my kids, she said, I got raped. I got pregnant. I didn't tell your mom and she's treated me like shit for a year. And I just thought, wow, right. Because this is all, it's all about you. And I get it. So like now, right, it did. It solidified her trauma. Mm-hmm. It tells her, yes, it's real. Yes, it happened. Or, the way that she thinks it happened. But I think she had romanticized this relationship she had with the other guy because she didn't want it to be him. Mm-hmm. You know, she wanted to look at it like it was this wonderful love affair or whatever, rather than the truth of, you know, something that she would not want to remember.
Right. Oh, that's so hard.
It's a lot.
It is a lot. And like you said, I think the conversations around consent, especially in the 80s, were so different than they are now. And
yes.
It's just a lot to take in. How have you been processing it?
I went to a marriage retreat, like with the church group and with my husband, Valentine's Day, whatever. But it really kind of opened my eyes that I have been so bitter. And when I tell you like bitter, I'm talking like full of rage that you can't do anything with. These feelings that you have to learn to live with it, because I mean you can release it, but there's nobody to yell at, really. There's nobody that you can really hold. I mean, I hate to say responsible, but yeah, no, terribly, terribly. Every single day it would hit me. I would, you know, cry at the drop of the hat, fly off the handle at the drop of a hat. I had to come home and tell my husband and tell my kids, like, I've been a raging lunatic because I don't know how to handle my emotions and I don't know how to express how I feel. You know, when you have a toddler and they're throwing a tantrum, of course, now we know it's because they can't express, mm-hmm. right? So they lay in the floor and they thrash. So for the last year, I, for a lack of better words, have laid in the floor and thrashed.
Yeah.
Not being able to really put words to it. Fighting about everything else because you can't put words to how you really feel. It is really like there's no closure. I thought that there would be closure when I met him. I did feel like there was a weight lifted. But when I got back to Memphis and I realized that he was not going to really reach out, then I'm just kind of like, oh, okay. And I really think that there's probably like some financial aspect. Maybe they're afraid, he's afraid that, you know, I'm going to want something or that I'm going to ask for something or that it's one more hand in the coffer when he goes. And that's probably why siblings don't want to have anything to do with me. But, you know, I don't want one. I don't need any of that. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. We worked very hard for everything we have. We can take care of ourselves. And I don't need any of that. But two, like, I don't want it. Yeah. Like, I don't want it. And if I did, if there ever was anything, it would be to go back and I'd give it probably straight back to my dad, you know, because my dad took care of me and supported me. So I don't know. It just, yeah. No.
What do you hope for the future, like with your relationships with your birth certificate father, your mom, and then your bio dad?
I would like for my bio dad to want to know me. It feels so painful to not want to be known, to make no effort. Like, okay, I get it. You know, you were a kid and you didn't know for sure. And he really thought, you know, that I was the other guy's. Like, you know, that's a possibility, but I really don't think so. Cause he thought my mom was in a very long-term relationship with the other guy. Mm. So to know now that he knows that I'm biologically his. And I have 5 kids. They're his only biological grandchildren, and he has no desire to meet them.
Have you asked him, do you want to meet them? And he said no.
Yeah, he said that he would like to get to know me better first. And I told him, I texted him a few weeks ago because I got tired of waiting for a response. And I said, you know, I hope one day you'd like to meet your grandkids because they're awesome. And, you know, basically you're missing out. Mm-hmm. So I hate to say it's his loss. I mean, right. But I think that's a coping mechanism, but it makes me sad. It feels like rejection all over again. Mm-hmm. My mom used to say when I was a kid, she would be like, well, I just knew I couldn't get an abortion. Like, I never really understood why she would say that or what she, you know, why would that have ever been a thing? But now I get that in the back of her mind, she probably always wondered, she didn't know who my dad was. You know, was it this guy that she had a super big thing for? Or was it this guy that she has this terrible memory of? And so, I mean, I kind of can understand now where had she chosen abortion, that it wouldn't have been something that she probably looks at me every day and sees his face, you know? And I think at some point she knew because I look just like him.
Mm.
Yeah.
How are things with her now?
It's day by day. She told me that, you know, she's in therapy and I'm like, that's great. And I'm so happy for you. But like, make sure you tell them the truth because there, it's just so much like victimization. Like I'm, you know, poor, pitiful her. And it's, you know, it's always something. I'm like, tell them the truth. You know, I mean, you may have been the victim in my conception. Absolutely. Right. You may not have chosen the action that got me here. But you should take responsibility for every action that you took after that.
Right. The deception about your father. And yeah.
Yeah. And I don't know when a good time to have told me what would have been. Probably when she saw the test on my counter, when I told her I'm taking the test.
Yeah.
Especially because, yeah, there was, I mean, but there were so many other things, like take responsibility for all the things. And, you know, and I hate to say it because I do love my dad, but it probably wasn't a good decision. You know, my life could have been very different, would have been very different. Her life would have been very different. But I think sometimes it's easier to catch a ride.
And how are things with your dad?
My dad and I are doing just as well as normal. You know, he's older, he's aging. He does say things from time to time that don't make sense, you know, like, because he never paid child support or he never this or he never that. I don't think he needs the reassurance, like, I still love him and I this and that. There are some times that it bothers me a little bit. What I'm going to have to get through is probably the anger I have for my mom not taking any responsibility at all and the disappointment that he now knows that I'm here and that I'm not, you know, worthy or whatever.
Well, I just want to say you are worthy. You are worthy.
It's like, how do you tell somebody like, you know, I'm great and I wish you could know me? Because I don't really think like that's not who I am, but I'm like, but your grandkids are great. These right. might be your only biological grandchildren. I don't know. I will tell you one thing very valuable that I learned, because my sister Ashley, who's not my sister, but will always be, you know, a sister.
Yeah.
My dad's other kids do not know that I am not my dad's. I have not told them that. I'm not going to tell them that, because I know that they probably have their own trauma because my dad did not raise them and he did not really support them. Even if that was their mother's wishes, I still feel like, right, as a father, mm-hmm. you should take some responsibility. But I did reach out to my sister, and I didn't tell her. My youngest sister, Whitney, she said, you don't have to tell her everything. And I said, oh, okay, that's a new concept for me.
Yeah.
So what I did was I reached out and I said that I'm sorry I wasn't the sister to you that I should have been, that I was very jealous, you know, as a kid finding out about you. And I'm so sorry. And I wish I'd have taken the time to get to know you. I don't want them to feel the pain of like, wow, he took care of you and he's not even your dad, but he didn't take care of us. Because like this, there's trauma all the way around for like everybody.
Yeah.
Connected to this whole little story.
Yeah. And it probably gave you some perspective feeling rejected by your new siblings. That you, even though you were a child,
yes.
So you didn't,
yes.
you know, but it gave you a new perspective.
Oh, it did. And maybe it's going to give her a little bit of peace. I think the saddest part for me is really just knowing that there's nothing I can do about it. Nobody wants to know us, know my kids, know me. And I feel like there would be some kind of closure if they did, but I can't force it. And you don't want to.
Yeah. Right. And you never know what the future holds.
That's true.
We're only a year past, and sometimes it takes longer, sometimes it doesn't, but I hope that there is resolution there.
Yeah, I hope so. It's a longing. It's a weird like hole that you feel like, gosh, like I have four siblings, you know, and so, but I get it, because I wasn't excited when I found out I was getting another one. And I hope that it would be different because we're adults, right? And I don't need anything and I don't want anything and I'm not taken away. Like the more the merrier, you know, there's enough love to go around.
Absolutely. I think that's the key right there. There's just more love.
Yeah.
It's not a pie.
Right. It's not a pie. You're not going to lose anything. Like your heart can fill to accommodate.
So what advice would you give a parent who might be keeping a DNA surprise from their child?
Unfortunately, I think everybody's situation is different. If I had to do it over again, I wouldn't take the test. But for a parent who is facing that issue, I mean, the truth has got to come out. Like there's a whole generation of us that are finding out things. Like it does not need to be if you need a kidney, you know, or blood, or you need to be the one to be brave enough to tell your family and not let it be an app or an email. If my parents had sat me down and said, hey, look, you found the marriage license, you found your social security card, there are these questions that you have. Now's the time. I'm not saying that it wouldn't have been super traumatic back then. However, you know how they say kids are resilient, right? And you bounce back. Yeah.
Yeah.
You need to be the one to tell your child they do not need to find out from an app.
Now, I have to ask you a follow-up question, because you said, and I don't know that I've talked to too many people that have had this opinion before, that if you could go back, you wouldn't take the test. Why is that?
Well, I mean, for me, it's like everything blew up and there's nothing I can do to fix it. And I'm such a fixer, like a type I guess I'm type A, super honest, and I just have to know like all the things, and this isn't something I can fix. Even though my parents are divorced, they could be in a room together, right? Mm-hmm. Eventually, right? You know, graduations, birthdays. But this, when you have a woman who very much feels like she was assaulted and ended up pregnant, and then you have a man who very much is like, that's not what happened. And the sad part, it's like he says, I'm so sad and so sorry that your mom feels like that. And you know those apologies when people say, I'm sorry you feel that way, but how else can you feel? I'm sure down the road, I'll probably change my mind and be thankful that I've learned this valuable way of looking at things. And like, I know that there are tools in this. It really has pointed out to me things that I need to handle differently, do better, I'm very thankful for my husband. You know, marriage is hard, right? Like relationships are hard. People are hard, but marriage is really hard. And, my husband and my kids have probably taken a lot of abuse over the last year. You know, I mean, just like a mom's a tyrant. And all I can say is like, yeah, I've been a giant toddler smashing through the house because it's on, you know, so yeah. So if I had to do it over again right now, I would say I wouldn't take the test. 10 years from now, I'll probably be thankful for the things that hopefully I will continue to learn. But if you're a parent and man, you need to tell your kids before they find out on their own.
And you're still going through it, but what advice would you give to anyone who just discovered that they're an NPE?
You need to take a step back. You need to breathe and you need to decide how much emotion you're willing to put into finding out all of your secrets and what you want to know, because this has consumed my life. I did Ancestry while I was waiting for the second test to come back because he was so delayed taking his test. I have joined Living DNA that you upload all of your raw data and it connects you to all these other people that have taken all the other tests. I joined Family Search, which is more of a genealogical, right? Genealogy paperwork, which is still fascinating. And I found out that my biological father's side and the dad that raised me, they're connected. And so we're still working on, right? Because there's the paperwork side, but then there's the genealogy, or there's the DNA side, right? There's your genetics.
Yeah.
There's your paperwork.
Yeah.
Because I haven't gotten a whole lot of response from the biological father, like, it makes it more difficult to put those pieces together. But when you can trace your ancestry, and I have all the way back to like the, across the oceans, but when, you know, in the, 17, 1800s, there weren't that many families here, right?
Right, right.
My sister and I, we sit there on our DNA and we compare relatives, and I pull relatives, and relatives that are connected to me on my biological father's side are connected to her on her biological father's side.
So you are related to your birth certificate father
in some way. I think, you know, it was like a fifth cousin and an eighth, whatever. But the next step for us is that, you know, their ability to process these tests gets better and better, right? So my sister, my half-sister, and my dad, my birth certificate dad, they're going to be taking their new test and uploading so we can really figure out exactly, because mine goes all the way up, you know, to like the nth degree. And my sister, like I can see 5,000 relatives on mine so far, and she can only see like 1,500. But when I look at those relatives, it will tell me, hey, this one's also related to Whitney. But when Whitney looks, hers don't go back that far. So, you know, you got to take another test, pay the extra money. And it is funny to think, like, why didn't I take the test 8 years ago or 10 or however long it's been? And all I could think is, even back then, because I asked the question multiple times, I said, hey, why didn't I take the test? Other than I didn't want to pay for it. And I had kids and they were taking right. it. Whitney was taking it, what I need to take it for. And I did ask my sister, I had to ask her, did you know, did dad tell you, did he tell you, hey, Ashley doesn't need to take this and this is why? And she says no. And I believe her because I think, mm-hmm. I think if she had known, she would have forced them to tell me before it got to this. But anyway, so yeah, so they're going to update their test and then we're going to figure out exactly how the families are connected. And I'm sure there will be more to the story. And I know he may not have wanted this to be on a public platform, right? With a public test and all of that, but it is.
Yeah.
And, you know, so I've already taken it and it's going to connect me to every person that takes it, right? So we're at 5,000 and counting. We'll see.
Well, Ashley, thank you so much for sharing your story. I think it's going to help a lot of people. You're not alone. Unfortunately, you know, this is something that happens. And I think the more we talk about it, the more we normalize it. So I hope that your journey moves into a positive direction and that you're able to find peace.
I appreciate it. And I thank you and keep doing what you're doing because, you sharing your story and letting other people share their stories, it is cathartic. You can take off a little bit of the weight every time you listen to somebody who resonates with you. So
thanks again to Ashley for sharing her story. If you have a DNA surprise story that you'd like to share, please email dnasurprises@gmail.com. And if you haven't yet, please rate, review, and subscribe to the podcast on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. Until next time.